Makos Perek Beis Mishnah Beis 2-2. In the end of the previous Mishnah, we had given sort of what I'll call a data point to discuss what's considered to be shogeg as opposed to be shogeg har lemezid or leonis. Where is that threshold? And we had the discussion regarding the axe flying off, and is that reckless? So we're going to get another data point here for you to clarify this. And unfortunately, the problem is it's hard to know how things worked back in the time of the Mishnah to sort of interpret that back to nowadays. But the case of the Mishnah is Hazorek Evan L'Rishus HaRabim V'Harag. A person who throws a rock into a public place and someone dies. Now, the Gemara ends up saying that we're not talking about throwing the rock into, you know, a busy freeway. Of course, then that would be considered to be, you know, a car of amazing. That's criminally reckless and worse than just shogeg. The specific case of our Mishnah, as the Gemara explains it, is we're talking about someone throwing a rock into an ashpa. An ashpa is like a dung heap. It's where people go to relieve themselves. Remember, at the time of the Mishnah, there's no flushing toilets, so you need to go somewhere to relieve yourself, and of course that piles up and makes a big, disgusting mess. So they designate a particular place. And because it's disgusting, people tend to not go there except when they need to. And the assumption was that during the daytime, people avoid the ashpa, because it's disgusting and who wants to be there, and people would rather not expose themselves if they don't have to. Whereas at night, people frequently go there. So at night, it's already safe to assume there's people in the ashpa using the facilities, and therefore throwing a rock there would be considered to be grossly negligent, criminally negligent, and karav lemezid. But during the day, under normal circumstances, people aren't really there. People could be there, but they're not normally there. And that being the case, again, I don't know how to tell you the frequency of how many minutes per day someone's there, I just don't know. But at that point, if someone would throw a rock into the ashpa during the day, when no one's supposed to be there, but someone could be there, and the harag, and the so ends up dying, then hareza gola, that's considered to be shogeg, and the person threw the rock goes into golas. Worth noting that many mefarshim, including the Rambam, understand that throwing rocks in general is intrinsically negligent, like people get hurt, and it's sort of like a wanted malicious act to throw rocks, and therefore the case the Mishnah sees more like you had a constructive reason, like you're doing demolition and you let like your, you know, house that you're demolishing, which is adjacent to the ashpa, fall down into the ashpa. That's what it means to be throwing the rocks in for a good reason. He thought it was safe during the day, he didn't look, someone was there and he died, then that's gullus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Im mishki yatsasa ha'evan miyado. If after the guy threw his rock into the ashpa, hotzi halaz es rosho vikibla, someone then appears out of nowhere, sticking his head out of a window, and then he gets the rock in the face. But immediately, at the time that the rock was thrown, or the demolition happened, there was nobody there, nobody visible. So this guy appeared out of nowhere. In such a case, hareza patur. So then the person who caused the death, or threw the rock, I should say more precisely, is considered to be exempt, because really based on a pasuk, the pasuk says v'nashal barzel min ha'etz, that axe head, let's call it, detached from the stick of the axe, umatsa esreu v'meis, and it found his fellow Shimon who was there also in the forest, and he died, says the pasuk. So the drush is the word matzah, he finds it, is a very strange choice of words. And the drush is, has to be someone who's already matsui, who's already there to be found, but someone who makes himself available to be found after the rock is thrown, or the same, or the like. The person who is throwing the rock is exempt from gullus. Now, the actual mefarshim, they are split on exactly the rationale why. Simple explanation would be, it's a gezeiras hakasav, he has to be there, and there's no real like compelling logic to it. Others simply learn that it's a karav la'onis. In other words, if you look and no one's there, and you throw a rock, yes, it's an unfortunate accident. Yes, throwing rocks might be a little bit dangerous, but the point is it's still an accidental death because like no one was there at the time you looked, so it's like really karav la'onis. Okay, that's another approach. There is a third approach, which is essentially, it's not that the person's threw a rock into his face, but basically he put his face into the rock because the rock was moving when he appeared. Whatever the case is, the din certainly is that the person who throws a rock when no one's there and then the person appears after the fact, like jumping off from between cars and so on, the person who causes the death will be exempt from gullus and then, you know, certainly also exempt from the goel hadam's retribution. Says the Mishnah further, Zarkasa Evan L'chatsero. A person threw a rock into his own backyard. V'harag. And someone was there, and that someone dies. So, says the Mishnah, it depends. Again, we're really based on Gezeiras HaKasuv here. Im yesh reshus l'nizak likanas l'sham. If the person who got injured, ultimately died, had permission to be there, meaning he's allowed to walk through the back of the house, or he is a partner in the house, whatever it is, so in Gola, then the person who caused the death has to go into Golas because he should know that there's the real possibility of other people being in the backyard because they have the right to be there, and therefore he should have looked and checked it was safe and so on, and since he didn't, he killed, admittedly, unintentionally, b'shogig, but that's what shogig is, therefore he goes into Golas. V'imlav, but if the person who got injured had no right to be there, so in other words, don't forget, the person, you know, was like driving, practicing his, you know, golf, you know, he's using his driver and hitting golf balls in his backyard, no one's supposed to be there. He didn't see anybody there. He wasn't aiming for anybody, but some guy then just, you know, happened to be sneaking through the backyard, whatever the story is, and he gets killed by the golf ball or whatever the case is. So then, Eino Gola, the person who caused the death, really doesn't want to go else because it's really, again, Karvel Onus, like I said before, but it's his backyard, he's allowed to be there. And really, in truth, there's a basic lemon from the Pasuk. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Vasher Yavo Esra'ehu B'Ya'ar. Reuven and Shimon are going into the forest together. Maha Ya'ar Rishus, just as we're talking about the, excuse me, Maha Ya'ar Rishus Lenizak, Ula Mazik Likanasham. When it comes to a forest, it's a public place, it's Hefker, and therefore both of these parties are allowed to be there, and therefore the person who caused the injury and death should be more careful because he knows people could be there. Yata Chatzar Bal Habais, that would exclude private property owned by the person who caused the damage. She'ein Rishus L'Nizak Ulamazik L'Khanas L'Sham, because there, while the owner of the house is allowed to be there, the person who got injured isn't allowed to be there, so he shouldn't expect it. Therefore, he is not going to go into Golas. Now, we're done with that topic, sort of, but since we're talking about Limudim from this Parsha, and there's another word of Asher, it's Asher Yavo Esreyu B'Ya'ar, Lach Tov Eitzim. According to Abba Shaul, that word Asher is extra and comes to teach something, and it comes to teach Abba Shaul Omer, Ma Chatavas Eitzim Rishus, just as one goes to chop down trees, that chopping is sort of he's allowed to do it, of course, but it's not a mitzvah, right? It's just him taking care of his own needs to get firewood or the like. Yatza ha'av hamak es beno v'harav harode es talmido v'shaliach bezdin. It comes to exclude cases in which the person who caused the death not only was, of course, b'shogeg, he had no intention to kill, but more than that, he was carrying out a mitzvah at the time that caused the injury. And that being the case, he is going to be exempt. So again, he's exempt as Abba Shaul based on the limud from a pasuk, that if you're doing a mitzvah, attempt to do a mitzvah at the time that you do something which causes someone's death, you'll be exempt from galus. This is the din lahalacha. And the three specific cases are, number one, you're talking about a father who's educating his son, and the idea is that that's a mitzvah on the father. So if he's teaching him derech eretz, he's teaching him Torah, he's teaching him a trade, all of which are mitzvahs, and the kid's not paying attention, and the father, you know, hits the son, and the son falls over backwards and, you know, lands on his neck and he dies or something, God forbid. So then the point is, the father was trying to do his obligation as a father, and therefore he'd be exempt. It's a mitzvah. Of course, it goes without saying, nowadays the consensus of Machanchem is that one ought not to hit their children, certainly not even older children, if any children at all. But anyways, the Mishnah is assuming that's a mitzvah to do it, to enforce discipline with a child. So therefore, in so doing, one would be exempt. Same goes if you're talking about a rav, a teacher of a student teaching Torah, harode es talmido. Again, he's disciplining the child because the child's not paying attention, not learning, and again, he has to enforce decorum and attention and respect in the context of Talmud Torah. Again, a mitzvah. Again, the consensus of the modern 21st century Machanchem is this is not a way to do it. But anyways, Mishnah is assuming since that's a mitzvah, so it would be again an exemption. And same goes Ushliach Bezdin. Now we're talking about someone who is acting as an agent of the Bezdin to administer lashes, like we'll see in the third parak of Makos. So the guy did some avera, he's getting lashed. He's not supposed to be dying from that. He's supposed to be brought, like, you know, to close to, you know, the end of his life, but still not to die. So if the person administering the lashes ends up killing a person, again, it's a shogig, But since he was doing the mitzvah of carrying out the mitzvah of giving makos, so he will be exempt from going into galus.